Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by these great companies that are giving us money to let you listen to their stuff.
Bullshit, Kyle. We make this show. We make this show. You and me. Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by us.
Someone's got to pay the bills, Dan, because it's not our trading.
All right, roll them.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise, and with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face. Was I supposed to say that?
Yep.
I supposed to act that out?
Hello and welcome to the China Shop. I'm Shopkeeper Dan, and with me as always is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. Kyle's celebrating a big promotion today. He's the new Senior Ghost Advocate. How you doing today, Kyle?
I don't like that title. I don't believe in ghosts.
Well, you're going to have a hard time fulfilling your duties as the Senior Ghost Advocate.
All I can say is if there really were ghosts, wouldn't there be like billions upon billions of them? There'd be more ghosts than space.
Well, since they're made of ectoplasm, you can fit a lot of ghosts in one spot.
Oh, what a horrible existence, too. To come back from the dead and just stare at your family.
Hey, there's my wife. Oh, she's moved on. Oh, she's really moved on.
Knocking over a piece of paper or just burning out a light bulb when you get angry. Like, God, that'd be boring.
Well, Kyle, you are going to lose this post so fast. You're a terrible ghost advocate.
And now that we've just offended all of our ghost fans, let's move on.
Oh, yeah. Come on into the shop with us today. Sit back, relax. Hedge against the rage machine. We'd like to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here to smash our way into a complete set of fine china. Like to share our ever-growing strategies for maximizing gains and cutting losses. And if you're new to the shop and stock trading in general, you can always check out the Knowledge Center on financialineptitude.com or give our basic investing episode with Eddie Pence a listen. That's a good time. We'll have that link in the episode description. Best place to be, in my opinion, though, is on our Discord server. Kyle and I are on there every day. It's really just awesome. And a great place to be. Lots of stuff shared on there. And if you do join the server, send us a private message or email with your mailing address, and we'll send you a Smash It Yourself mug straight from the shop. We're just really glad you're here. It's a lot of fun, and it's always better with friends.
Whew. All right. Any show news?
Any show news? Oh, we got that interview with Dr. Hans coming up.
That will be on this Wednesday.
This Wednesday.
And then we've got Victorio Stefano from Trade Pro Academy. The week after that, I'm really excited to talk to him. I've been following him on Twitter since we talked to George.
Yeah.
He's more of a day trader, but he posts all his ideas in the morning, and then he follows up with them at the end of the day with what he actually did. To show like the price points, whether he's going to short or go long, depending on the price action of the day. So I'd like to learn how he reads, how to interpret the data that he's putting out and how he actually selects it. Should be a really good conversation.
Sounds good to me. Just those guys over at Trade Pro Academy, they know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. More than we do.
For sure. Well, that's a long list, Kyle. That's a long list. Folks, we've got just such a rapturous, hair-raising, good time of a show today. We got lots of market-moving news. We got plenty of stocks on the radar. And we got more options than a bottle of hot sauce on Taco Tuesday.
So, when you say rapturous, are you talking about, like, the rapture? Are you saying that Armageddon is near, or just that people will be listening intently?
No, rapturous in the state of mind and being of, such joy and exaltation.
Okay.
It's rapturous.
That's putting a lot of pressure on us, but... All right.
I'm not saying the rapture's coming. I'm saying you're going to feel like you're on your way to see God as you listen to this show.
I really don't like that word just because it sounds a lot like raptor. And I don't like the idea that raptors may be coming. I still have nightmares from Jurassic Park.
Yes, at some point in this episode, a raptor will appear and take a bite out of one of us. Take your bets on who.
Took a bite out of my bet pick is what he did.
And folks, please reach out to us. We just love your messages and comments on Twitter and Facebook and TikTok and Discord. If you're old school, you send us an email to the number 2 Bulls. It's 2 Bulls, but the number 2 Bulls at financialineptitude.com. Or give us a phone call at 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made. Or maybe you have just been raptured and you want to rub it in our faces. It doesn't matter. We love it when you reach out.
Make something like that sound dirty.
That's all in your head.
That's a talent.
I'm a clean boy. I don't have any dirty thoughts. We did away with the bet after the disaster of April, right? We're not doing the bet anymore?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right. So, moving on to news. No. I think I lead off with the bet.
Nope. No, you don't.
No?
I don't know.
You lost more than me?
Oh, yeah.
I honestly didn't run your numbers. Oh, shit. Okay. Well, hold on. Let me get some popcorn. How'd your bet pick do, Kyle?
Well, I probably should have specified this last week, and I'm going to make sure that I specify it now. I am not taking any stop losses on this. This stock is all or nothing. I'm riding it into the fucking dirt or to the moon, one or the other.
Oh, that was my understanding.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think I mentioned that or got cut when I listened to the episode replay. But I've got Celsi CVM. It opened last week at $24.06, and it closed the week at $21.39.
Ooh.
Which drops my bet total down to $444.51.
Oh, God damn it. Oh, we're going to have to do something stupid again at the end of May.
I'm not sure if that date is going to be coming out in May either. I really hope it does, but I'm starting to think this might be something that drags on for a while, but I don't know. I'm going to run with it. Sooner or later, people are going to realize that, you know, holding the potential cure to cancer is worth something.
It might be worth something.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've been really pessimistic with the earnings this whole year. My theory is it's a good bet to bet the stocks going down no matter what the earnings report was. And Allstate had been going up so much that I thought, oh, yeah, you're in for a fall. Nope. I did the old buy it Monday, sell it Wednesday, short it before earnings. So I moved in at 127.54, sold at 127.46 for, it's like 30 cents loss. Not a big deal. That's when I shorted it, and earnings came out, and Allstate ended the week at $132.26. So that's bad news for the short.
Yeah.
Puts my total at $480.87. So down a solid 4%. Not starting May off well.
And wait till you hear what the random did.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. CCJ, I think is what we ended up going with. Opened the week at $17.02 and closed the week at $20.08.
Oh.
Yeah, it's now sitting at $589.89.
What the fuck? How is this happening?
I don't know, but we should be betting the fucking randoms, what we should be doing. Fucking A.
Oh, my God.
And if you listen to our April review, you know that Dan and I will be taking the SAT test here next week.
Yep.
As part of the conditions for losing that. So we're probably going to start needing some new consequences for when we lose to the random this month, because it's not looking good right now.
I'm doing all sorts of crazy shit for this show now. Oh. What was that advice I gave you a couple weeks ago? I need to pick better. I just need to get better picks. Yes, that's what I'll do.
All right. Oh, and then we got our poll question, too, to wrap up here before we move on to the news. We asked last week if Adam Aaron is a genius, basically playing the AMC shorts. We got roughly 85% saying yes and 15% saying no. So I really like Adam Aaron. We'll get into more in the when we get to investing about some of the stuff that's come out this week. So stick around, make sure you hear that, because there's some good stuff coming there. Let's go to the news.
Oh, yeah! Starting out hot. Let's get some news going.
Well, we all know why we're listening today. The shop is bursting with the week to replay. So sit back, we got some market affairs. Get some stories for the bulls and the bears. Clowns running companies. Laws change overnight. Here we are. It's time for China Shop News. Yeah, now it's time for China Shop News.
Boom. All right, Kyle, you want me to start off? You got champing at the bit with some hot stories.
Oh, there's a lot of news to kind of get through. So, I mean, I don't want to spend too much time on any one of these, just because otherwise we're just not going to be able to get through it. But, the financial services hearing for GameStop Part 3 took place this week. I tried to listen in on some of that, and I was very, very disappointed with the direction that that went. Less about digging into like how retail kind of got fucked over in that whole scenario, and more about how they need to protect retail investors. And I'm worried that it's going to get to the point where like they're not going to let us trade options anymore.
Oh, shit.
The government's going to step in and like restrict parts of the market to the retail investor in order to protect them.
To protect us.
I can't stand that. I hate the whole accredited investor thing. I hate somebody telling me what I can and cannot do with my money. Like, fuck you. I'll do what I want with it. I earned it. If I want to gamble it on some short expiration options, then I'm going to fucking do it. I mean, I don't want to do that, but...
Right? What's more American than that?
Yeah. I don't know. I listened in on some of that, and I ended up having to turn it off because I was just getting so disgusted. And one of the things that really stuck with me is they kept referring to the recognizing the need from Robinhood to turn off, or the SEC, or I think it was the different brokers, they said they recognize the need to suspend trading on these stocks. But they used the term suspend trading like they suspended everything, and that is not what happened. I don't understand why they can't see the distinction.
No.
They suspended buying for retail only.
Yeah, yeah. Other, you know, market makers and brokers could buy
if
we couldn't buy. That's not...
If they would have just said, okay, you know what, we're going to put a halt on this stock completely and then just wait 10 days till they can kind of dig in and see what the fuck is going on, I'd have been more okay with that. That's well within the SEC's rights.
Yeah, that's a circuit breaker.
Not the circuit breaker. The SEC can actually step in and stop and say, like, okay, we're going to suspend trading on this while we dig into what's happening. And they can do that for up to 10 days.
Ah.
But nobody should have been allowed to sell if you can't buy. That's fucking ridiculous. And I can't believe that Congress can't see the difference between that. Then again, it looked like a lot of the congressional members on that committee had actually been receiving donations from, I think it was Citadel. So take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, as I said, small but I feel relevant and important digression. There was a Yale study that followed popular opinion versus lobby opinion and the way Congress acted. And Congress does not legislate based on what we, the people, our opinion and attitude towards things.
Right.
Surprisingly, they legislate where the money is.
Really? You don't say.
You don't say. Wait, Kyle, so all these people at this hearing had been paid money by these big hedge funds, and they don't seem to want to look into the improprieties of the big hedge funds?
That's kind of what it looks like.
Crazy!
That's a bad look.
That's crazy!
Yeah.
Hey, all I know is I better be allowed to buy options, because if I take 10 grand cash down to the park and throw it in the dumpster fire, nobody's going to stop me. You know, nobody, no cop runs up and says, wait, sir, you can't throw your money in a fire. You're not allowed to do that.
That actually might be illegal. I think that might. That actually is. I don't think you're allowed to deface currency.
Oh, now, yeah, now I got you. You just joined the nanny state, Kyle. Congratulations. You hear yourself talk.
Probably wouldn't be a bad thing. Bill Gates and all these other billionaires just burned half their fortune.
All right. It wouldn't be a bad thing. It'd be awesome deflation,
yeah,
which has its own economic issues. But so yeah, I could go out and buy $10,000 worth of gumballs and throw them in the dumpster. Nobody's going to stop me because this is America and it's my fucking money.
Oh, yeah. You can totally do that. Yeah.
But if I want to buy $10,000 of fucking GameStop stock, That's my decision. Really hate that whole concept of protect me from my mistakes. How else am I going
to
learn?
Exactly. Sometimes you got to fuck up to learn your lessons. It's okay to fuck up as long as you learn something from it.
Yeah.
It's the whole point of fucking up. Anyway, all right, I already spent way longer than I wanted on that. What do you got, Dan?
This just popped up literally 20 minutes before we started our pre-call call. The Colonial Oil Pipeline that runs from Houston to New York has been hit by a cyber attack, and they've had to shut it down.
Oh, okay, so that's interesting.
So we're probably going to see some hurt in oil supply, and I don't know how it's going to affect prices, but I know it's a huge pipeline. No word on when they'll have that back up and running.
What was the name of that company?
The company runs the pipeline, Colonial Pipeline. It transfers more than 100 million gallons of gasoline and other fuel daily from Houston to New York Harbor.
Does it have a stock ticker? Because I was looking to see if it has anything on their news.
I don't know if it's going to affect the stock ticker of a certain specific company. I'm assuming it's going to affect supply, which is going to drive up oil prices. And those companies like CCJ, they're just going to keep rising.
Colonial Pipelines is privately held, so there won't be any plays on that. But you have to think that any other pipelines that are still operating are probably going to be looking pretty good come Monday morning.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. All right, Kyle, what else you got?
Thank you, Dan. The other thing that really popped up that caught my attention this week was Biden wanting to suspend patents on the vaccine. And I think you were talking, you had something kind of similar along this, or we had a little discussion about it before we started here.
Yeah, and then it was like, save it for the show!
Yeah, I don't think this is a great idea. I think you were on the other side of that argument.
Yeah.
Because you want medicine to be free, but I think that the chance to make profits is what drives that drive to actually create these things. And then plus just giving away the, like, how to manufacture the vaccine and all the intellectual property that goes with it to other areas or other countries. They don't have the infrastructure or the facilities to build this shit out. It's not like you can just get the blueprints for something and then turn around and make a vaccine the next day. That's not how that works. So if they really want to get vaccines to struggling, you know, developing nations, then we just need to make them and give them to them. Like, that's how that needs to work.
I don't know. I think there might be some factory somewhere in Asia that's like, oh, wow, if we just had the blueprints, we could be pumping this stuff out for cheaper than you're doing it. I don't know.
Maybe. But I don't know. That's just such a tricky thing. I mean, you have to look at what kind of investment goes into trying to develop a new drug. And, you know, we're learning more of that the more we look into CellSci. I mean, that's a 10-year fucking commitment for their product. And granted, the vaccine was kind of rushed and fast-tracked. But, I mean, these things typically take fucking years to plan out and produce and prove that they're safe and effective. And to just give that away, I mean, that seems like a really slippery slope.
I do know, now I haven't looked at these numbers in a few months, but I at one point did come across a story that was talking about the profit margins for the vaccines, and Pfizer and Moderna were like super tiny, the AstraZeneca Oxford vaccine really low, and then I don't even remember the name of the company, but the one that actually built their vaccine on government funding and not of their own accord, the one that the government gave the money to at the beginning of the year in 2020. Yeah, they had something like a fucking huge markup, like 250%.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It was astounding that the private companies were like, oh, no, we're not trying to sell this for a profit. We're just trying to get it out there. And then the company that got all the public funding to do the vaccine was like, well, yeah, we got to make a profit. It's like, wait, this is supposed to be backwards. What are you doing?
That is interesting.
No, you're absolutely right. There are significant costs involved. I always like to try and reason from a place of, I just don't feel like money should be the only motivating factor for everything humans do on the planet.
Well, that'd be nice, but I mean, isn't it yours?
Absolutely not.
Would you go to work if you didn't have to?
I wouldn't go to the hotel, but the things that I work on outside of the hotel, I'm not making money on right now. I do them because I love them.
Like what?
Ron and I are finishing up a short film that we shot. This podcast hasn't seen me a dime, and I put a lot of work into this.
Hang on. This podcast is getting sponsors, and...
Oh, the podcast makes money, but I don't make money. We're talking about what's in it for Dan here.
You're building future equity in all these projects.
Certainly. Okay, well, if it all went away, if I won the lottery tomorrow, I'm not going to stop doing stuff. I wouldn't stop doing this show.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But then you don't have to worry about money. So that's money still underlying factor in the choices.
Okay, so this is the weirdest fucking tangent ever. I'm glad you're still with us, folks.
I know, right? Yeah, let's. I don't know that this is necessarily enthralling.
It's not. It's not, and it's all gonna get cut. No, it's not all gonna get cut, but I'll probably just wrap it up here.
Yeah.
I would love to see and live in a world where we can do things without money being the motivating factor. That being said, that's not the world we live in.
No, not even close.
And I understand the concern with a company like Pfizer, who was not selling their vaccine at a huge markup. And now their patent, you know, the government might step in and say, no, this patent, anybody can have it. I get the concern, because it's not just the vaccine. There were proprietary steps that when they made this vaccine, there are pieces of that patent can be used for other vaccines. Mm-hmm. Like I get why Pfizer would step up and be like, oh, hey.
Another aspect of that, I mean, you don't know the qualifications of the people that you're giving this over to. I mean, who knows what they're going to start flooding the market with?
Oh, knockoff vaccines.
Whether it's going to be safe or if they're, yeah, exactly. That is a real concern.
Yeah. Oh, it really truly is. I'm laughing, but it's no laughing matter. They were having a problem with heart medicine. Counterfeit heart medicine in coming from Mexico.
Oh God!
A couple years back, yeah, I go down to Mexico for my dental and to get my pharmacy stuff, and there was like big warning, like, oh, you go to the pharmacies, well, don't get your Lipitor or whatever. It's like, oh shit.
To tie this back into the markets, I think this might be why OCGN, Ocugen, has been on such a free fall after skyrocketing. The previous week. I think this is probably what was causing it to fall. That I have a hard time seeing this thing getting passed. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of, as we just discussed, lobbyists opposing this.
And I do feel like Pfizer is correct. Like, at this point, who's going to ramp up their vaccine production for these patents that is able to do it? Because everybody all over the world's already been so vaccine focused for so long. Like, who's left?
The other interesting question is going to be how, if the severity of the coronavirus suddenly is no longer as severe in the media's eyes, once the big pharma companies are standing to lose potential profits, like, no, we don't need to give this away. It's not a big deal anymore.
Not a big deal anymore. Oh, Lord. Oh, yep. Yeah, it's gotten crazy in India.
Yeah, I know.
The amount of people dying now. But yeah, you're right. Unfortunately, the media is not a tool to inform us. It is a tool to lead us, like a carrot hanging at the end of a fishing rod.
I'm getting real late now. Still got a ton of stories to get through. What else do you have, Dan?
Nothing important.
No, go ahead. There is important stuff. Everything's important.
I came across a nifty little story from a little company. I don't know if you've heard of them. Their stock ticker is IBM.
Yep, I'm familiar.
Yeah, I guess there's some computer company. I don't know. I'm not familiar with them myself.
Big Blue?
Yeah, these motherfuckers just released a 2-nanometer fucking microchip.
That's got to be for cell phones, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They got a fucking 2-nanometer semiconductor. They're saying 45% performance improvement.
Holy shit.
And 75% power reduction.
Is this for mobile phones or is this for actual like laptops and computers?
Their focus is from the news story seems to be cell phones.
Yeah, I think cell phone standard before was 3 nanometer, but AMD has like the smallest or thinnest chip right now at 5 nanometers for desktop computing. For some reason, cell phone chips are smaller. I don't know why.
Right, because they fit in your pocket.
I guess.
Yeah, Apple's got a 5 nanometer chip. AMD right now is making a 7-1. Apple talking about their 3 nanometer chip.
AMD's making the 5 too, or developing a 5.
Right. But this is the first prototype 2 nanometer chip. They're saying that if all goes well, you won't have to charge your cell phone more than once every 4 days.
That's kind of what I do now, at least for my work phone.
Well, then you would have to charge it every 16 days.
Because, to be fair, I don't use my work phone hardly ever.
There you go.
Yeah, they last longer if you don't call anybody or look at anything on it.
If you don't use them?
Yeah, you just let it sit on your desk.
Kyle, what's the end game here? Can you get 1-nanometer chips? I mean, how I don't understand.
Last I read, when I was looking into that, like the thinnest you'd be able to go is going to be like atom size. Like once you get to like the width of an atom, like that's it. And we're getting really close to that limit right now.
How many nanometers are in an atom?
I guess I should look that up. Yeah, 0.3 nanometers. That's typical. Yeah, we're getting really close to that.
Holy shit. Holy shit. Yeah, let's put that in a fucking perspective. 2 nanometers. They're literally talking about 20 atoms.
Yep.
Wide. What? That's where we're at today?
Yeah, a nanometer is a billionth of a meter.
Dan's mind just got blown.
Yeah, remember that. That's a big number.
My mind just got blown. What the fuck? I feel like you could breathe on it and it would scatter it to the wind.
Well, I mean, not really.
No, small doesn't mean fragile?
You can't blow on a table and the atoms don't fly off when you do that.
Oh, they absolutely do, Kyle. They absolutely do. Prove me wrong.
I can't see that small.
Oh, anyway. Yeah, so in the midst of a huge semiconductor shortage, IBM's like, we got even smaller.
All right, should we go lightning round here and get through the rest of these?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, I've got Peloton. Apparently their product is maiming their customers. Actually killed a small child.
Ooh.
They finally issued a recall and an apology, and it kind of feels like that whole South Park when BP had another spill and they, oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Apparently it took them a while to actually release or to actually acknowledge that there has been an issue. So the stock's not doing too well on that, and rightly so.
Man.
Next, I've got Virgin Galactic. There's a filing with the SEC that suggests that the next window is going to be on the 14th. So finally, we might see that test flight. That might actually need to be our poll question. Is Virgin Galactic, is it done? Oh, yeah, because with Blue Origin flying, they're beating them to actually flying paying tourists, and even SpaceX now is talking about doing the same thing. Like, I don't know. I still believe. I still like their model. I still think they have potential, especially if they can do suborbital flights between big cities, if they can get their airports and or launch pads or whatever you call it, and a bunch of different locations. I mean, if you could fucking zip over to Europe in a 20-minute flight, yeah, that'd be awesome, especially if you can do it at a reasonable rate. Yeah, maybe that should be our poll question. So keep a lookout for that. We'll probably post that on Monday. I think I'm going to stop posting them on once these episodes come out, because I just don't get as much interaction with them until the trading sessions open up. Last one I've got here is that Berkshire Hathaway shares momentarily broke the NASDAQ. They actually, their share price got up above the upper limit, and I don't know what kind of computers the NASDAQ is using, but yeah, it didn't seem like that should have been a problem.
Go in and replace that integer with a float.
Yeah, it's not like a huge, huge number either. And I remember looking at it. I don't think it was...
It's like 300,000 something?
No, it was over 400 something. Yeah, Berkshire Hathaway stock's been doing really well. That'll wrap up what I got for news.
Yeah, pick up a couple shares when you get a chance.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to have one.
Well, was that bring us up to... investing?
Yeah. Should we do some sponsorships first?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Our partners at LifeWater. We got another stock to talk about.
Yep. Ring the bell.
Well, they paid a lot of money for the show to talk about this, and we don't think that we'll drop it on time. By the time we cash the checks and the contents in the press, we're on the Discord just in time to see our pride fly by. It's all right, because it pays for the show.
We got paid $110 by a third party via PayPal to talk about Antibe Therapeutics.
Yes. The stock ticker is ATE on the Canadian Exchange and ATBPF on the American. Toronto-based pharmaceutical company develops pain and inflammation-reducing drugs based on gaseous mediator technology.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It was on their Wikipedia page.
Fair enough. Dan, what's got you excited about them?
They are developing over-the-counter pain drugs that they don't mess with the GI tract.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like the big thing with aspirin, isn't it? Like, eats away your stomach lining if you keep taking it for too long.
Yeah, and I've heard that ibuprofen does the same thing.
Really? Well, I know ibuprofen, you have to be real careful about overdosing on. The wife is, she's always counting my Tylenols whenever I have a hangover.
Right.
Guess she wants me around.
If Antibe Therapeutics manages to hit market with a new pain drug that isn't rough on your gastrointestinal tract, that's just printing money in my book.
Yeah.
The market for over-the-counter painkillers is just incredibly huge.
Okay, is this the Otena Prosexual drug that they just got FDA clearance?
The Otena Proxysil?
The Otena Proxual... yes, OTP.
Yeah. Otenoproxacil is the name of their drug, and it just finished phase two. It's gearing up for phase three, which is the final phase, so...
Ah, nice.
Really, really excited about it.
I wonder how long that phase three takes.
I don't know enough about the FDA requirements to tell you how long any given phase is going to take, but I do know that it's the most intensive one.
Yeah, that's the one that really proves it's safe for humans, right?
Yeah, phase three is absolutely a human clinical trial.
Okay, it's entering phase three trials for the treatment of osteoarthritis pain, and then they have additional assets under development, including a safe alternative to opioids for periparaptive pain and GI protective alternative to low-dose aspirin.
Wow. Wow. So it works and it doesn't have the side effects is what all the lab tests are showing. That's great.
Sounds like they might have multiple uses for it, which is even better.
That's just it. Is think about all the uses for an aspirin. I've got a headache. I stubbed my toe.
I don't want heart attacks.
I don't want heart attacks, right? People are buying aspirin for all sorts of stuff. And that's what gets me so excited about hearing a company about to enter phase three trials with an over-the-counter pain drug.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be over-the-counter. That's yet to be decided, I'm sure. But the drugs it's looking to replace are over-the-counter. So that leads me to believe that it will find its way over-the-counter.
You would have to think. I tell you what I'm excited about when I look at this thing. I'm looking at this chart. That looks like a very distinct cup and handle pattern to me.
Oh, on their one-year stock chart right now?
Yeah. There's not a whole lot of volume trading on it, which, you know, kind of makes it a little bit more risky to mess around with because you get some bigger spreads. But that looks like a cup and handle to me.
Right. It sure does.
All right, Dan, bring us home.
All right, so there you have it. Looking at Entebbe Therapeutics, ATE on the Canadian Exchange, and ATBPF on the American Exchange.
All right, yes, folks, do your diligence. Check it out. Do your own research. Don't listen to us. We got paid, but we like this one.
We'll have a link to this in the episode description. You can follow and check it out for yourselves.
It's all right, because it pays for the show.
Okay, all right.
Did you ever actually buy any of that, or were you just watching it?
I had a couple shares for a few days, and then I reassessed it, and it was like, Dan, your portfolio is not picking up shares here and there. You're trying to play the wheel. Stay fucking focused. Get in the game. So I sold them.
Okay, so I don't have to update the disclaimer?
No.
Okay.
It had nothing to do with the stock itself. I sold a couple others too. It just became like you're just buying the new fancy thing. You like it, but it's not my strategy. Nothing wrong with the stock.
Yeah.
It's just I need to stay to my strategy.
I like the potential of that one, but to me, that's a longer term play. You're going to have to really. I would like to keep an eye on it and see a little bit more positive movement out of it before I start investing my money on. But it probably will end up in my watch lists of up-and-comers.
Yeah, well, you know, pain med like that, it's not on par, total par with the cell size cancer cure, but it's close.
An aspirin that doesn't destroy your intestines? Yeah, that's fucking pretty impressive.
Yeah.
All right, you want to do Sue, too, or do her after investing?
Before we move on, I'd like to take a moment to tell everyone here, in case you have never heard the good word, Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender. Sue is a wonderful certified mortgage advisor who focuses on finding, matching you up to exactly what you need, what's right for you. She's got over 20 years of experience. She's helped thousands of people, whether it's purchasing, refinancing, even reverse mortgages. She helps. It's what she's there for. She loves to help. She's licensed in 26 states and growing. So reach out and see what Sue could do for you. Best way to reach her is just give her a call, 520-977-7904. Or you can shoot her an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number 206048. That email again is spullen@fairwaymc.com, and that phone number is 520-977-7904. Reach out to Sue Pullen for all your mortgage needs.
All right. Got my bathroom break in. The cat snuck in while I was able to do that. Couldn't shoo her back out, so you might have some meows to go with your chickens.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Those chickens, god damn it, they were loud this morning too. I'm hoping they're not on the recording.
They were on the last one, like really loud. God, what was the so Audacity doesn't have a declucker noise.
Yes, there is no decluck filter.
All right, we'll play some music.
Yeah, got some music going.
Now look at them bozos. That's the way to do it. Do your investing up commission free. That ain't working. That's the way to do it. Money in something like the S&P. It ain't certain, but that's the way to do it. Let me tell you, just play it long. Maybe get an index tracking marijuana. Maybe get some Arctic space fun.
All right, Kyle, my long-term ones that were have been sideways for a few weeks, now not so sideways.
Are they down?
My TQQQ opened the week at 108.69 after dropping below 100 again on the 4th and the 6th that dropped below 100. It ended the week at 103.80.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. It's all right. Marijuana continued its taunting of me personally, I believe.
Yeah, it seems like it starts to take off and then it kind of falls back and then it hangs out for a little bit and then it'll start to run up again and then fall back.
Yeah, MJ opened the week at 21.52 and closed the week at 21.34 after getting as low as $20 and mm-hmm. right around $20. But yeah, it taunts me. Marijuana is taunting me. And then ARK Q opened 20.44, closed at 20.44. So you can't get more sideways than that.
Yeah.
Sorry, no, it opened at 20.65.
Yeah, it's down a little bit again.
But you know, they're long term, so all I'm doing is watching them.
Yeah, and I think we've probably seen the bottom on Virgin Galactic. Personally, I think that 1963-ish, somewhere around there, was like the last line of support, and it looked like it held that. So hopefully, we've seen the worst. I mean, obviously, that's going to depend on whether or not their test flight explodes or lands safely, or even fires.
I was going to say, or even never happens.
A test flight's got to happen. Has to happen at this point. I feel like when I'm pleading with my positions, that's probably a sign I should probably not be invested in it anymore.
Yes. Their 52-week low is $15 something, and they are really trying hard to get back down there.
Oh, man, I should be buying more right now. Should be buying more, I think.
Well, what I said was supposed to convince you not to buy more.
No, you just did the opposite. Like, oh, discount, discount.
When Richard Branson's selling his shares, it's a good time to buy, right?
Yeah, he sold 5% of his shares. He still has a large position.
Oh, yeah, well, it's easy to have a large position when you're the founder.
We'll see if he sells them after he does his flight. Got what I wanted.
I'm out.
All right. My week here, let's say I made two buys. I bought shares of CelSci, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Bought that at $21.35, so I was really happy with that price. I also bought shares of AMC right before close on Friday. I had been watching it bouncing around that $9 mark, seeing if it was going to hold, waiting for it to break out of that downward channel it had been bouncing around through the last eight days or so. And we finally got that on Friday, so I went ahead and bought about 100 shares to bring up my total position on that to an even 1,000. And we've been talking a lot about AMC the last week or two, and for good reason. AMC also had their earnings call on Thursday, and I jumped in and listened to the call as it was happening. I made some notes, so let me see if I can dig them up here real quick. Just some of the interesting things that happened or that were reported. Okay, let's see here. The biggest thing that caught my attention was that they reiterated that there were over 3 million individual shareholders, and he also specified that they were retail investors.
Mm.
As of March 11th, retail owned approximately 4/5 of the total outstanding shares. They pushed back the shareholder meeting, and part of the pushing that back was to allow all these new shareholders to have a chance to vote on the company, is what Adam Aaron says. But I think it's because he wants to get another count.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be another count coming out June 2nd, I think is what they specified in the call. That could really expose a lot of these naked shorts that are speculated to be going on with this company. The next thing that caught my eye was that they'd raised nearly $4 billion over the course of the year. The company has actually ended the quarter with more cash on hand than at any point in their previous 101-year history. They have enough cash to support operations with no revenue through 2022.
Wow.
So the whole play of shorting this company into bankruptcy just got a whole lot...
Won't work.
More dismal. Yeah. let's see. They also increased their market share of moviegoers over the past year to 33% from about 25%. They don't think they're going to keep that whole share as stuff starts opening back up, but that was still interesting nonetheless. Last one was a nice nod to all the apes out there holding AMC. Adam Aaron personally is matching AMC's $50,000 donation to save the gorillas. Yeah, I love to hear that. Adam Aaron's on. He's on Twitter now. He's getting more active with it. You know, try to interact with them. You had a real good chance he's actually going to follow you. He's going through following a bunch of the people tweeting at him right now.
Oh, that's fun.
So I'd love to see that from CEO.
That's fun.
My new favorite CEO.
Right.
Do want to jump into some weird shit that happened on Thursday, but you said you had something you want to go through first.
Oh, well, my stuff might go well with your weird shit. What was okay. Are you talking the tinfoil hat theory?
Yeah, there's some tinfoil hat shit here.
All right, yeah, go. I'll add on.
I'll just try to give some of the facts here. I was watching AMC, I think this is on Thursday, and like in the morning it hit like a high of like somewhere around like 960, and then dropped, the high somehow dropped later in the afternoon to like 927, and I couldn't figure out what the hell was going on there. I started digging around on Reddit just to see if anybody else had noticed that, and yeah, there's a lot of speculation that something weird has just happened. Feel bad for saying this. The speculation is that like somebody just got margin called, and the speculation is that it's a market maker because a bunch of volume mm-hmm. disappeared from a lot of heavily shorted stocks, including AMC and GameStop. Like the volume is just adjusted, and there's a bunch of stuff that had trading suspended for about 5 minutes around the 11:30 mark. So the thought is that if, because there's a bunch of other trades that were going through in a lot of other heavily traded companies, like it wasn't like everything stopped. It was only specific stocks that stopped trading for a 5 minute period. And the thought was that maybe they had to shut down in order to reroute orders through like a different market maker. And I think the explanation out there from like, you know, the people in that world is some kind of glitch, which is probably accurate. But, man, there's some really interesting DD on Reddit that really makes it look like they might be onto something, thinking that one of these market movers like Citadel ended up actually getting margin called or something happened with them.
Yeah, it's very possible. You know, we don't get to see, you know, none of that's public.
Right.
You know, they do that and all in the dark. I feel like one of the things I came across does go into this. The Federal Reserve issues a semi-annual financial stability report,
mm-hmm.
and Fed Governor Lael Brainard, in the part of the statement, warned that rising debt of hedge funds, much of which is not recorded by regulatory authorities, poses growing risks for the stability of the financial system. So the Fed is addressing hedge fund debt, and two, saying we don't record, this isn't regulated. So we don't know what a hedge fund's debt is.
Yeah, that's a problem. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, was there any warning when Archegos blew up? It just one day fucking Viacom dropped.
No. You know, exactly. Viacom just fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's saying that basically when one hedge fund goes down, it's going to cause another one and then another one. Like George Papazov was saying, it's just dominoes.
Yeah, it's the domino. Yep.
And so when you've got the actual Federal Reserve coming out and saying, hey guys, we're in a really vulnerable position right now, it's not good. You know, I've gone my entire life without the Federal Reserve mentioning hedge fund risk management. The fact that amidst all of this chaos that they're coming out saying now,
how do you unwind it?
How do you unwind it? Yeah.
We just saw how much value was pumped into like Discover and Viacom from one hedge fund. God damn, if they all fucking fall.
Well, to put it in her wet words, this combination of stretched valuations with very high levels of corporate indebtedness bear watching because of the potential to amplify the effects of a repricing event. Yeah, translation. All these dominoes are lined up, and if you knock one over, they're probably all going to fall. Yeah, and Archegos Capital was leveraged to the tune of $50 billion, and that's just one. So if $50 billion...
I think it was $30
billion. Oh, well, I'm just quoting this article.
Oh, okay. If it's actually in there, then okay. Never mind.
We'll say 30 and 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Fed is actually concerned there are more hedge funds like Archegos Capital out there ready to fall. But because it's not regulated, they don't have any real idea of where they are or the level of bank exposure to them.
Yeah, that's what I would have liked to see them from that financial services hearing. How about the fucking fails to deliver? Like, let's talk about that. Like, stocks that are not showing up. Fucking AMC stock is... I was listening to Trace Trades, and he was going off on a nice rant. On Webull, the short button for AMC has been disabled since fucking January.
What?
Like, you cannot short it. Yes. And then couple that with the screenshots you're seeing on Twitter of people saying... The people who, you know, said fuck Robinhood and tried to transfer. There's been at least a couple instances that I've seen where people aren't getting their shares of AMC when they transfer. They're getting, like, a portion of them. And when they call to talk to, like, Fidelity customer service and ask them where the fuck their, you know, shares are at, the only answer they can get out of them is, well, we can only transfer what's in your account. So, you know, 3 days later, he finally gets his shares. But, yeah, that's telling me that there's a lot of people owning synthetic shares out there right now. People in Europe are having trouble buying the stock. People in Europe can't even vote on the fucking proxies.
Wow. Okay. Holy shit.
Yeah. So, that's why I bought more shares of AMC the other day.
Yes, my put, I got put my shares. I got put my shares, so I am now 100 shares richer, and I'm very happy with that. That was my goal. I want to sell a put that actually gets put, and it hit it right in that zone where I'm not underwater on the whole trade, because the cost of, I'm happy. Yeah, I got me some AMC, but it was at the point where I was watching it all last night and all this morning, because I realized just because I sold a put doesn't mean I'm actually going to get those shares. The person with the shares still has to decide whether or not to exercise it.
They should automatically exercise even if they're 1 cent in the money.
They should.
But they can call and say, no, I don't want to sell them.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting because of all the stuff going around AMC. I was like,
well, no, because it'd be better for him to just sell those shares and then immediately buy another 100 in aftermarket.
Oh, which is probably what happened.
Yeah.
But what if there's no shares to go around and these are fraudulent shares? I don't know.
Well, it doesn't matter. We held up our end of the bargain. Whether the shares that you actually possess are real or synthetic, that's not your problem.
Yeah, that's Ameritrade's problem now.
That's not Ameritrade's problem either. That's the person who sold them. If they didn't have the actual shares and they can't afford to pay back whenever this thing does explode, then the market maker has to cover it. And if they can't do it, then the Fed covers it. We're going to get paid. Whether your shares are real or not, you will get paid.
Yes, they are insured. Hey, Kyle, you got any earnings?
Yeah, play my song, bitch.
All right. Oh, now I'm not going to play it. Oh. What do you think of that? Yeah, no earnings song for you. What are you going to do?
Damn it. All right.
Okay, I'll play it, but I'll play it backwards.
My way, sky rockets in sight. Earnings call delight. Earnings call delight.
All right, on the 10th, we've got Marriott, Roblox, Plug Power, Virgin Galactic, Riot Blockchain, and PRPL, but PRPL is not confirmed. That's Purple Mattresses. On the 11th, we've got PLTR, Unity, QS, QuantumScape, DAR, Darling Ingredients, BGS, and Sundial. On the 12th, we've got Sonos and CVM, CelSci, although CVM is also not confirmed. Be really nice if they do a data drop on that phase 3 trial with their earnings. On the 13th, we've got Alibaba, Disney, Coinbase on their first earnings report since IPO. One of your favorites, Farfetch, and Westwater Resources.
Oh, their earnings are coming up?
Yep.
God damn it.
And then on the 14th, we've got JMIA, Jumia, although they're not confirmed as well. JMIA is kind of interesting, too, because I was listening to apparently Ken Griffin went on some news channel and was just talking gloriously about this stock and how it's going to get bought out. And if anybody wants a footprint in Africa, this is the one they have to go through. It's the only company like this that has zero competition. He was calling for this, saying this stock should be worth $60 a share. You think what you want about Ken Griffin. He was one of the people taunting retail during the whole GameStop deal, to the point where he ended up leaving Twitter for a while. But he likes Jumia, so I don't know. I'm getting a little nervous now about it. Maybe it's distraction, trying to get people to sell their AMC to buy Jumia.
Right. Yeah, anything can get you to sell those AMC shares.
Yeah, I'll sell them when they're 500 a share and I don't have to go to work anymore.
Right. Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
I will mention Friday had a lot of companies hitting new 52-week highs, some notable ones. We had American Express, Bank of America. We had a couple. We had Big Five Sporting Goods, Dick's Sporting Goods. Apparently, opening up has been good for sporting goods stocks.
Oh, yeah, I think it's summer, too.
Caterpillar hit a new 52-week high. We had Cigna in health insurance. We had Cisco Communication Systems. Keurig, Dr. Pepper, Dish Network.
Allstate?
Allstate, no, not them. We did not get more Allstate, though I wouldn't have been surprised since it was, I did have it shorted. At least it didn't show up on the list, probably because of the volume.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, FedEx. I mean, just there was 248 companies on the fucking list Friday.
Oh, Jesus, really?
Yeah, Guess, Jeans, Goldman Sachs, Goodyear Tire, Home Depot, HP's back on the list, H&R Block. Back on the list. Yeah, I mean, Friday was just a killer day. KB Homes, Keurig Dr. Pepper, Kraft Heinz Company.
That shit didn't go up
that much.
Yeah,
just so many to choose from. Oh, yeah, and one of your favorites, Nucor.
Yeah, I actually sold them, too. I sold them to move into Celsi. I did not sell them at 98. I sold them at, like, 93.
What great timing you have, Kyle.
I got a price I was happy with.
I'm laughing, but selling on the high and buying on the low is exactly
that's what you're
what
supposed
you
to do
doing.
And it's kind of what I don't do.
All right, so those are just a few of the ones that hit new highs on Friday, so check those out if you're into that kind of thing.
All right, should we play a trading song?
Oh, is there music on this show? Let me see, let me find
supposed
it
supposed to be
there we go.
You say you want a ticker that wins. The bell just rung, it's time to get in. Ups drive us wild, drops drive us crazy. The bulls are shouting, bulls are always shouting. I wanna get rich over.
So I've started the week, Kyle. I managed to sell those SPY calls.
Yeah.
At Tasty Tasty Gains. It's the first thing I did on Monday.
Nice.
That strategy is working really well. I'm going to be looking to move in. Where's the calendar? This upcoming Thursday, I think, is the next buy date for that.
Yeah, I think I'm done trying to fuck around with that. I don't know enough. I haven't watched it enough. I tried to follow you, and I just ended up losing.
Yeah, that's which is weird to me.
Well, because I tend to hold things too long. I need to work through that issue first before I start trying to do short-term trades.
Yeah, the ninth business day is Thursday. So I've been kind of jumping the gun and buying them on the day before the ninth business day. I've been diving on the been buying a little on the eighth business day and a little on the ninth. So this Wednesday, I'll be looking to buy some more SPY calls, depending on, and I'll pick the strike price depending on where it's at. I try to get the strike price closest to where it's at. Just outside the money. I'm sorry, it's not working for you. It's working like gangbusters for me.
It's me. I think you're farther along in the take profits mentality than I am. Like I said, I need to work through that. But do you make any other trades?
Yes. I bought back some of my Westwater. I bought back my last Westwater put because I decided why wait until June to buy them at $5 mm-hmm. when I can just buy 100 more when they're down near $4.
You can always skip the put if it's
I skipped the put because the dip seems like it's pretty dipped.
Well, I mean, at that case, you just sell a $5 one. Just sell a $5 put at that point.
Well, it was a $5 put, and I bought it back.
Oh.
Because buying it back and buying 100 shares where it was at...
was about the same price.
It was about the same price, and I would rather have those shares now to ride it upward to sell some covered calls, which is what I'm looking to do now.
I actually did something similar with my OCGN 521. I had some 750 puts that I had sold. I closed those out for a 25 cent profit per contract just so I could roll it into the next month because that premium was out fucking outstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I closed that out and then I went to the 618 750 puts and then I sold those for $1.93.
Nice.
Yeah.
I didn't do much more. Yeah. I bought back my IDEX calls and my Sundial calls at what I felt was probably lows and I'm looking to sell the next round on those. So I'm just set with my shares in Westwater, IDEX, Sundial, and OGI.
I don't see your IDEX moves in the Discord. Did you not put them in the trade log?
Oh, you know what? I guess I did it on the 6th. Whoops. Forgot to throw that up on the Discord. Apologies, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Log your trades.
Well, it's logged here in my history what I'm looking at, just not on the Discord for public consumption. Here, I'll type it. I'll type it right now. I sold those IDEX calls.
Well, you're doing that. Let's see. I closed out a bunch of my losing positions this week, and I was actually really proud of myself for doing that and just taking some money. The 5.7 SPY puts, I sold those at 93 cents a contract. The 5.5s I sold at 28 cents, and then the rest of my pins, I sold those at 70 cents, which ended up taking that total pins trade down to a negative, which really sucks, but hey, it would have been a lot worse if I held on. That's not getting back up to $68. It's trading below 60 right now, not before the 21st.
Yeah, not before the 21st.
So I managed to take some small gains by closing out that OCGN put, and then I also managed to close out two losing positions this week, so I was actually really happy with my trading week in general, because I was able to address two of my problem areas and actually not feel too bad about it. I did one other move, and that was buying May 14th 950 calls for AMC. I did that after watching Trey's Trades technical analysis. I've been watching. I like the way he looks at stock charts and the way he explains what he's looking at and breaks down like the different price points and resistance lines. And he was really high on the $9 support line. I was watching the same thing. I was seeing how it kind of bounced around nine. It might drop below it for, you know, an hour, but it'd be right back up. Reject that like it would like a high. So he bought a bunch of these and I thought, you know, I'll play along too. So I bought a few of those. I didn't risk too much. I think they're only like 75 cents a contract. More just to kind of play along and see if he's right. Yeah, that pretty much wraps up my week. I'm going to be looking next week at a lot of the open contracts that I sold and then looking to see if there's any that I can close out and lock in like most of the gains in order to do the same thing I did with OCGN to be able to roll them into the 618. I don't want to take too much of my, you know, I want to take the ones that are like almost nothing to close out at this point, right?
Well, that's the goal, right?
Yeah, because if I close them all out at, you know, 50% gains, then suddenly I'm generating half the income that I thought I did for May, and that's not going to be sustainable for me to live off of if I quit my job.
right, which is the overall goal, is to make this a job someday. Yes,
hopefully soon. All right, should we close this up with some alerts?
Yeah, let's get some alerts going.
All right, I want to look back at one of the alerts I mentioned last week, the GameStop 5.7 $200 call sweep. That did not end well for whoever bet over almost $120,000 on that, unless he was selling them. Then he did very well.
He did just fine.
It was definitely a bullish bet. It was sold near the ask. So this week, there are some really interesting ones. One of them, SPY. This is the first time I've seen an SPY alert pop up.
Whoa.
January, I'm guessing it's January 21st of 22, a 375 put sweep at $13.24. $3.78 million bet
against the S&P.
Yes. And 8 months down the road, too, which is kind of nuts. So somebody thinks a big fall is coming.
Wow.
And the other really big one that I saw pop up was a Jumia, again, January 21st, 22, a $27 put at $750, and that was a $2 million trade with neutral sentiment on that one. Let's see, the last one was a smaller one. It was Bed Bath & Beyond. It was an April 29th of 21. $28 call sweep at $2.52, about $85,000, another bullish trade. I might follow that one. I might buy a couple of those, too. I like Bed Bath & Beyond's direction. I like the shift that they're doing to more online stuff. And each time their earnings reports come out, you're seeing more and more of that shift, that goal being realized.
Seen it work. Yeah, they're pulling it off.
I may try to jump on board with this one. It's nice that one's so far out, too, because if he's betting on, like, a near-term move, because it's, not until August, should keep a lot of that time value.
Yeah.
Time for some Western themes?
There's nothing Western about this show, Kyle, except the good, bad, and the ugly.
Why don't you go first and lead us off, Dan?
Well, the good for me was definitely selling more off my naked S&P calls on Monday. Sold those for a smooth 26% gain.
Nice.
Oh, no, sorry. I sold those for a 31.5% gain.
Oh, even better.
And that put the total of me doing this strategy since I started April 14th, that put my total gain at 26% since I started it.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh, that's very interesting.
I've got the money that, I put in my head, I split off some of my portfolio and said, this cash is for this strategy. Mm-hmm. So it sits in cash. I sold those off and it's just been sitting in cash waiting for the next time. And I'm just going to keep rolling it forward all in, everything I made from it. Not going to take any of the profits out. I'm just going to put them forward to the next time, the next set of calls to buy. And I'm going to see how big I can fucking get this motherfucker.
I would take the profits out and just keep doing the principal. Because if you keep going all in, you're like one bad news announcement away from being wiped out. And you don't want that.
Well, from this ball of money being wiped out.
Yes. Yeah, that would really suck, though, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, but I'm playing it like a gambler, I guess. I don't know. I'm just kind of amazed at how well it's been working.
I'm saying keep your gains out. Keep rolling the principal and just see how. And then once you get your gains up to a certain point, then you can start putting more into it. But yeah, I would keep enough to at least be able to do it another week or another cycle. You have one or two bad cycles in a row and it wipes you out. That would not be good.
It would not be good, but you know what? It'd be really good if that didn't happen. So, since these are such short-term trades, I know that it's a lot of risk. But like I said, it's not my whole portfolio. So if this zeroed out, if I totally washed it out, or if I had a total blowout on it, I'm still gonna be okay. I don't know. I don't know. I'm quite happy with the results so far, and I'm willing to take that risk.
I don't recommend that, but I also can't give financial advice. So,
right? I was just going to say, you also don't know how to take gains properly. So
that's true. Speaking of which, my good for the week was completing my weekly goals. I took a small gain.
Yes.
And as a bonus, I also closed some losers. So fuck yeah, I did my good.
Fuck yeah. All right.
What was your bad?
Oh, I don't think I had a whole lot of fucking bad. I guess we'd say my bad is I forgot to log my IDEX trade.
Yeah, that's bad.
I didn't, and you called me out on it. I honestly thought I had logged it. But I pulled up Discord. No, I did not. So that's bad. That's me breaking the rules.
My bad was playing around with SPY calls and something that I probably don't know enough about to be fucking around with. So if I want to keep trying to play along with this strategy, I either need to learn it and understand it or just stop altogether. Shouldn't trade on stuff you don't fully understand, I think.
What don't you understand? You buy it and it goes up and you sell it. It's that easy, Kyle. It's that easy.
Okay, when I wrote this, it was because I was following along with one of Vito's trades and the trade ideas that he posted. And that was also because I don't fully understand like the chart that he's showing, the price points, what that means, what to watch for to know when to say, okay, it's time to stop, take your profits out. So that's more what that was geared toward. It wasn't as much for this other one, but with the one that you do, I need to learn how to be happy with small gains before I can start playing that too. In general, it's probably not for me. It's probably not something I should be doing yet at this point.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and both of those trades were profitable at one point, I believe. I could have closed them out for, 10 to 20%, and I did not.
Yeah.
My ugly was actually holding the rest of the pins, because that took it from profitable when I did sell some of it to meet my goal last week. By not selling all of it, I basically turned it into a losing position. I call that ugly.
That is ugly. That is ugly. Yeah. Ouch.
Yeah, good. I did it this week. I closed up the first small gain. Bad. I didn't do it last week all the way. I did it some of the way.
Right. You still couldn't let go of the trade completely and had to keep a toe in the water, and the shark came up and bit your fucking leg off.
At least it took my toe and not my, whole leg.
Oh, all the way up to, past the knee.
I just lost a toe. But still.
My ugly is just my personal organization skills have I've had a tough couple weeks in terms of keeping up on all of the stuff I need to be keeping up on, and I didn't log my momentum trades again. And that's ugly for me. And God, I mean, I'd feel worse about it personally if, I'd just been sitting around playing video games, which I was not doing. But at the same time, I need to fucking, if I was more organized, I would have more time.
I'm pretty sure that Laura offered to help you with that, but I'm pretty sure that she has yet to receive any responses from any of the surveys she sent out. Maybe that would help you.
Okay. Yeah, I should. I do. I've got a stack of 10 unread emails, and half of them are from Laura, and I keep saying, okay, Dan, you got to get to your emails, you got to do all this shit. And then
maybe start small there. Wouldn't it feel good to get through those emails, Dan? Let's do a reframe.
It would feel good to get through those emails, Kyle. It would feel really good.
I was going to ask you if you made any progress on your mind muscles.
I did not. That's also probably ugly.
Well, all right. You ready for some bets?
Oh, God, I am ready for some bets. So it's going to be really boring from you, because we all know what you're doing.
Yeah, go ahead and play the music, and I'll just confirm it.
Play the song anyway.
Stocks, mama, in the center of a universe. That's for every one of us. Consequence for one of us. Make our picks with no regret. Every open, every close, every spread.
All right, Kyle, you were the biggest loser this week. What's your bet pick?
I'm going to hodl CVM. I'm holding on to this one for dear life.
I want to pay the guy who played Hodor on Game of Thrones to just record him saying, hodl. Hodl.
I've actually not seen that show.
Oh, well, watch it all the way up to the last season, and then only watch the first three episodes of the last season, and then call it done. It'll be a really good time.
All right. What's your bet for this week, Dan?
Keurig Dr. Pepper.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Love those guys. Well, because I love Dr. Pepper. I love drinking it. I love bathing in it. I love throwing it at people.
I like Dr. Pepper mixed with Pepsi.
Ooh, fancy. They hit more 52 Kais on Friday. It's an all-time high for them.
Let's see. It's got an 8 outperform score. Research team says reduce. The street says sell.
Oh, well, if the street is saying sell.
Well, no, this is how you find these. You've done pretty good picking some of these ones. I think Budweiser actually just fucking skyrocketed last week, finally.
Heck yeah.
You identify them. You're just not always right at the right moment.
My timing isn't the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, these things are hard to time.
Well, if you remember last November, we were talking about GME short squeeze.
Yep.
Bad timing.
You did.
AMC, yep. Last December, I was like, this fucker's going to bounce back. Just bad timing.
I think I tried to talk you out of it. Now I'm the one telling you to buy it.
I gotta pull up some of those older episodes to get some clips. Let's talk about AMC in December.
You want some random?
Yeah, let's get some random.
I ended up with BTNB, Bridgetown 2 Holdings. They're based in Hong Kong.
BTNB.
Oh, this might actually be a SPAC. This company formed for the purpose of effecting a merger, share exchange, asset acquisition. Yeah, we got a SPAC. Oh, that could be really bad. It's traded on the NASDAQ. It's a blank check company. It's a SPAC.
Okay, well,
be our first SPAC.
I'll take it because I don't think SPACs are doing hot right now.
They're not, but if they announce that they're going to buy something next week, that would really suck. That'd be our luck.
What was our luck? Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, they're buying Virgin Orbit.
Oh, folks, we're so glad you've made it with us all the way to the end of the episode. Kyle, do you got anything else that you want to go over before we wrap up and kick everybody out of the shop?
I was going to tell you to bring it home. I think we should just tell. I want to tell our fans. Forget this, you know, the other stuff about supporting us. Just tell your friends. That's all we want. We want more people listening. If you want to help us out, get one of your friends to listen.
Yep. The shop is a lot more fun. The more of us in here wrecking the place up, it's just a better time.
My wife did smash a mug yesterday, or the other day. I posted it in the Discord.
Yes, so please, let's keep growing the shop. We love you all, and the more the merrier. And we're just so glad you're here. We're glad you made it to the end of the show with us, and we can't wait to join you once again. This upcoming Wednesday, we'll have Dr. Hans. That's going to be a good time. He is a professional investor, really knows his stuff. And then, then, of course, we'll be back again next weekend with more China shop action. So until then, happy trades, folks.
Goodbye.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.